Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Pat Iyer, and I have with me Wendy Vacherbeck. She is the owner of Integrity Legal Nurse Consulting in Portland, Oregon. Her consulting career was started after working in virtually all healthcare arenas, which is a wonderful background for legal nurse consultants. That includes acute care, home care, ambulatory care, and long-term care for both adult and pediatric patients. Wendy has experience in both civil cases, including medical malpractice, personal injury, family law, and probate, as well as in criminal cases for plaintiff and defense firms across the Western United States. She loves analyzing medical records. I'll bet, Wendy, you like to find that little fact in that medical record that changes the whole complexion of the case.
Absolutely.
And she loves empowering her attorney clients in the process. Wendy is also busy as an instructor for the University of Portland School of Nursing in the medical surgical rotation in a subacute long-term care facility, as well as the author of 3 nursing textbooks. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Why, thank you, Pat. It's fun to be here.
Tell me, how did you get started in legal nurse consulting?
I was laid off twice after working in a large hospital system. And what I saw at that time is that hospitals were starting to do more with less. So my fear was that I was either going to be a part of something that led to a bad outcome or possibly negligence. So I decided to take the back way to be part of the solution, to at least empower attorneys when there is negligence, and hopefully that facilities could then make systemic changes when they're aware of some of the potential negligent care.
And I'm sure you have seen instances where the change in care has occurred because of the lawsuit. I don't know that we as legal nurse consultants always realize what transpires after a case is won in court by the plaintiff or it is settled. But I know that the risk management people and the insurance carriers who are in a particular geographic area share information and then attempt to plug up the holes that led to an incident in a facility so that it doesn't return.
Right. I have heard of long-term care facilities that have made systemic changes after a lot of negligent claims.
And it's always wonderful to hear that. I remember meeting an attorney who, as part of a settlement, told the facility, instead of giving me, you know, all of this money that was awarded, I would like you to take this chunk of that money and change your policies and procedures. And he forced them to make those changes. They happily accepted the fact that their carrier didn't have to pay as much, but they went ahead and fixed the issues that were related to the liability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard something like that too. Yeah, so, and you're right. I mean, I don't find out a lot of times what really happens long-term with the cases. When I do, it's always really helpful to know if what I did actually helped in the process.
Mm-hmm. So you decided that you would leave your job and start your business. Did you start your business while you were still employed, or did you go cold turkey, leave the paycheck, and then begin marketing?
I did cold turkey. Mm-hmm. And boy, was it scary.
I'll bet.
Right. And I met with a life care planner in town, and she told me, you know, people can't make a living doing legal nursing. So I decided to prove her wrong. And that really helped. The other thing that really helped to make my business successful, when I started my business, I was listening to a lot of podcasts called Six Figure Home Office, and it was all successful female entrepreneurs from across the country. And every one of them said that what brought their business to success was hiring a business coach. So I put it out to the universe that I was looking for a business coach, and within a couple of weeks, I found my first one.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I know is the reason why I've been successful.
How did you get that first case?
Wow. I did a lot of marketing, and I would drop off information to attorney offices and just being really diligent. And when I started doing the marketing, I started in the smaller counties because I decided that if I was going to make mistakes, I wanted to make mistakes where the stakes were lower, as compared to doing something that would make me look foolish to the bigger firms downtown. So that's what I did to kind of figure out how I was going to market and what I was going to do to put systems in place. And then once I felt like I really knew my stuff, that's when I really started marketing the bigger firms.
That's an interesting approach, and I haven't heard that before, but it makes sense.
Right. I mean, because if you think about it, that the smaller counties, while there's lower amounts of attorneys, it just made it feel a little bit safer as compared to really marketing some of the bigger firms. I mean, I'm sure every LNC looks at the reports they did when they started their business, and there's no comparisons. And I know that over time, my reports is what gives me more work.
I remember laboring over a sample report of a fictitious case of failure to diagnose a ruptured appendix. And I must have spent 40 hours on that report thinking about every possible thing that I could illustrate. And it was in a three-ring binder. It was probably a one-inch binder. I realize in hindsight that I was procrastinating, because if I spent all my time perfecting my sample report, I wouldn't actually have to do anything with it. And then when I thought it was all done, I gave it to a legal nurse consultant who worked at a law firm for feedback, and she never responded to me. I never got anything from her. And then I had an opportunity to give it to an attorney, and he didn't say anything about the report either, but he gave me a case. And then I finally got up my courage and said, well, what did you think of my sample report? He says, oh, I loved it. It was great. Well, okay, I guess it was worth the effort. And certainly, I was very familiar by then with the standard of care related to diagnosing and treating a ruptured appendix, since it was an area I studied thoroughly.
Well, when I started my business, I had been doing pediatric nursing. And, of course, most of the LNC cases that you get are adults. So I had to use subcontractors from the very beginning, because I wasn't going to take a chance that I would miss something. So I used a subcontractor from the very beginning, and it made it difficult financially, but that is what really helped my reputation, because I know that the reports were spot on.
Yeah, using a nurse who had the familiarity with that clinical area made for a much stronger report.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we know that there are many people who are going through LNC courses and wanting to start a business. What would you advise a beginner LNC to do at this point?
Well, I have a couple things that are ideas for this. One is to get a business coach, because that the way that I think about it is that what would I know about running a business, being a nurse? And so a business coach knows how to run a business, and they push you pretty much way past your comfort zone. But in addition to that, what really helps is to be a subcontractor to people, because then you learn the ropes of report writing, and you actually are mentored in a way. So mm-hmm. then you can really understand how to perfect your craft. A couple other things is to get Adobe Acrobat Pro, so then you can more easily analyze and work with medical records, and put yourself where attorneys are. I chose not to go to certain events because there weren't going to be attorneys there, so I zeroed in on those places where attorneys are. And probably lastly, it's really working on your mindset, which is part from working with a business coach, but there's also people that are like transformational coaches, as in Anthony Robbins and Jack Canfield, mm-hmm. because to me, it's all about being positive and working with the law of attraction. Because if I am positive, I really attract people in my life, and people appreciate working with someone that's positive. So even if I'm having a negative day, if someone says, how are you doing? I say, excellent, because why wouldn't I? It's like I want people to think that I'm like this rocking person.
And that's interesting. It's been a theme that a couple of the other people on our podcast have brought up. Dana Zarcone and Casey Carpenter and I, in previous podcasts, have talked about the infectious nature of being positive. And mm-hmm. likewise, mm-hmm. when you've got a negative person in your life, or a person who tells you, you know, Wendy, you can't start a business. You know, just stay in the hospital where you can get a paycheck. It's much safer. You start mm-hmm. listening to messages like that, it reinforces whatever doubts that you have about your business or your capabilities, and can really shoot you way down. Some people right. never recover from that.
And there's a lot of people out there that are coaches, and a lot of their stuff is for free. Like Jack Canfield has a lot of stuff in the books. So there are ways to work with some type of a coach. And, you know, when I started working with a business coach, even that expense was pretty difficult, but it was an investment in myself, and it really made a difference. It's like someone believed in me.
Mm-hmm. Are there myths that people have about legal nurse consulting?
Well, I think that one that I have seen is that it's easy to get started and get going, mm-hmm. and it takes a lot of work and dedication. I think that some people graduate from the courses and they automatically assume that the attorneys are going to find them and going to knock on their doors, and it takes consistency and it takes a lot of time. I think there's a couple other things. Is that one is some people may think that anyone can write a report. And it takes good grammar, it takes practice, critical thinking skills, and it's like even using something like Grammarly, so then you know that you are writing your best. And then one of the other ones is that a nurse is a nurse is a nurse. When I started being a pediatric nurse, there was no way that I could assume to do an OB case or an adult ICU case. It's like I felt like I needed to work with someone who was the experts in those areas.
Yes, that's so important, to pull in somebody else's experience. And you learn in the process as well about that specialty, which makes it more comfortable for you the next time mm-hmm. that type of case mm-hmm. comes in.
Right. And sometimes you can work with them. Sometimes you can have them as a subcontractor. But really, you need someone that knows that area. Because I can't tell you how often that working with subcontractors, that one of them will miss something like just today. And it just changed the whole tenor of the case and evaluation by finding that one nugget.
And it's the thing that excites us the most. You know, we're wired for that little detective investigative part of our brains that gets excited when you find the word or the phrase or the fact that makes a big difference.
Right. And, you know, what I've learned also as working with nursing students is that it's all based with critical thinking. And so I just really push my students to be critical thinkers and to really understand the whole story, because I have seen so many instances where it's like nobody was watching the patient, or at least it appeared that way.
It's also interesting, Wendy, the dual role that you have, because you can carry the lessons from the medical records into your educational role and proactively teach the students the things that they should really be focusing on when they're doing their observations.
Right. I think I have a reputation of being a really hard instructor, because their care plans, they need to understand all the diagnoses and the meds and the labs, because I want them to be critical thinkers. But what they get at the end is such a gift, because they understand how nursing works. And I have learned that from being a legal nurse. Because really understanding the whole scenario behind you and what's the story.
It's also interesting to think about how cases influence our actions, because I remember working on a case involving a blood transfusion error that occurred as a result of two patients being in the hospital with the same first name and last name, and how a whole series of mistakes allowed the patient to receive the blood of the type intended for the other man with the same name.
Wow.
And part of the error occurred because the nurses did not check the patient's armband at the bedside. They checked the blood at the nurse's station with the medical record, and everything matched because the wrong patient stamp was sent up to the nursing unit with the other guy's information.
Wow.
So after that occurred and the case was ultimately settled, the next time a nurse came up to me with a blood bag in her hand and said, "Here, you know, let's just check the chart. Let's do it here at the nurse's station," I would look at that nurse, and it happened multiple times during my clinical working as a PRN nurse that nurses would ask me to do it at the nurse's station. And each time I gave them, you know, an abbreviated description of the incident and said, "Let's go into the patient's room and check the armband, and this is why." I can't tell you how many people would stare at me with horror that the idea that something they were treating as a very casual procedure was actually fraught with so much danger.
And when I work with students, we just make assumptions that errors can happen. And so we talk about errors all the time, or potential errors, and what we can do to prevent them.
Tell me about the most challenging attorney you've worked with.
Well, I had one recently where I was working with one of my subcontractors, and it was a negligence case. And it during the report and with all the emails, I made it clear to him that we were not the experts, and that he needed to hire experts, and this is what I thought the potential negligence was. He then demanded that my subcontractor be the expert, even though that would then make the report discoverable. And even with various emails and phone calls, it took a long time for him to understand the difference in the role between the consultant and the expert.
And he probably thought, well, I've invested so much money in this case, I can just get her to write the report or sign an affidavit of merit if you use those in that state.
And numerous times in the report, it was clear that these were the experts that he needed. So it was, I actually wonder if he read the report.
Oh, it may have been selective inattention. How about the most challenging case that you've worked on?
Well, when I started my business, as I said before, I was a pediatric nurse. And so I got a case where it was a man who was an alcoholic who was in the urgent care, and they started to give him instructions for fluids, and his electrolytes were way off. And then when they found what his electrolytes were, they just called him on the phone and said to use Gatorade. And the guy came into the hospital the next day, and when they started giving him IV fluids, they did the sodium too fast.
Oh, yeah.
To where he ended up with the brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had not been using a subcontractor that had ICU experience, and was able to be super anal about finding and figuring out, it's like some of the nuances of that case may not have come out. And when I see that attorney now at different places, he always mentions that case as far as the good job that I did on it.
Isn't that nice? It's so gratifying.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see why that would be challenging. The ICU flow sheets and the rates of administration can be difficult to interpret without a critical care background.
Right, and just understanding the amounts of sodium that were going in over how much of time with the rules that were the rules of medicine that were associated with, you know, giving your sodium. So it was, I was kind of in awe at her ability to really put that all together.
And I think that you have touched on this a little bit before. The three things that you think most heavily contribute to your success as a legal nurse consultant, what would those be?
Business coach,
mindset,
and a marketing plan.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your marketing plan.
So the business coach that I have now, it's been pretty intentional as far as how I am reaching attorneys. So it can be with postcards or newsletters or advertising, but I have a pretty intentional system regarding how I communicate with attorneys. Because there's always that thing that we hear that it can take 7 to 10 contacts before they actually use you. So I am in front of their face all the time. And so, not in a way that's irritating, but they see my information. The other thing that is that a friend of mine who's a business coach told me that if I was sending stuff out in mail, that I needed to stand out. So the colors in my business are black and hot pink. So I send out every bit of mail in a black envelope. So I have black envelopes in virtually every conceivable size. And when attorneys see me, they know that I'm the person with the black envelopes.
And then how do you get the address to stand out?
I put it on a white label.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of debate in the internet marketing world about the whether information should go out electronically or in physical form. And the thinking that I've been hearing is that because we receive so much less mail now than we used to, that anything that you send that the attorney can hold, like a postcard or a physical newsletter or a flyer or a mailer, is going to stand out just because it's a novelty at this point.
Right, right. And I think I only send out one newsletter electronic, and I saw what the response was of people opening it. And so newsletters are put on cardstock so they feel better. And even if all they see is the black envelope, they know it's me. If they open it up, and even if all they see is the name of my business for 2 seconds, I'm in front of their face. And I don't do anything. I answer emails, and I talk to people sometimes through emails, but I don't market at all electronically. It's pretty much supporting the U.S. Postal Service.
And they thank you for it, Wendy. You know, they're in trouble right now, so I'm sure they're
And I am helping to support them, let me tell you.
What types of things do you put in your newsletter?
I try to have something that's pertinent to medical negligence, something that's pertinent to personal injury, something that can help educate them regarding their own health. And I get a lot of emails from different sources, and so I save a lot of articles in a folder on my desktop that's called newsletters. And so then when I'm ready to put the newsletter out, I'm able to figure out what some of the potential topics are. And I do stuff in bullet forms. I don't do it in long-term prose. It's all in bullets. Then I also do blogs, and I collect topics for blogs as well.
That sounds like a very organized system.
Well, I've been doing newsletters now every other month for 3 years, I think. At least, yeah. I think it's actually more than that, now that I think about it.
Well, you've shared so many interesting tips with us, Wendy. How can people find out more about you?
Well, I have a website, and it is legalnursepdx.com. The reason why it's PDX is that that's the initials for the Portland, Oregon airport. And there's someone else with Integrity Legal Nurse Consulting business name. So that, or Wendy at LegalNursePDX.com. And then also my phone number is 503-775-3221. And if there's someone on the call that's listening who wants to be considered as a subcontractor, they are more than willing, and I'm more than willing to communicate with them and view their CV and also work samples to see if we could work together.
Terrific. That sounds like a great offer. I appreciate so much, Wendy, the time that you spent with us, sharing your expertise and everything that you have given us in the way of tips, and your experience is going to be very valuable to our listeners.
Awesome. Cool. Well, you know, Pat, thank you so much. It was actually an honor to be considered. So thank you so much.
You are most welcome. Thank you very much. This is Wendy Vatrobic and LegalNursePodcast.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.